join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is A Life-Changing Encounter by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
John, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 1. I don't know if I'm going to read all this or not, but I'll see. John 4, starting at verse 1, many of us are familiar with this account in the scriptures. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Just a little passing point here. Jesus heard the Pharisees, they were going to be complaining that he baptized more people than John. They already didn't like John. He knew that they won't like him even less because they heard he had baptized more people than John. Jesus said, I got to get up out of here. Sometime you got to escape from the drama. Some of y'all came here to escape some drama. I just got to go somewhere in a no-hate environment where I can hear word from God without being around all this drama. And so Jesus escaped and says, and so he decided to go back to Galilee. And verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered, said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast this, that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered, said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband, and then come here. The woman answers, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seeketh thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I want to speak today in the time I have from the subject, a life-changing encounter. A life-changing encounter. Periodically throughout one's life, you may experience a life-changing encounter. In March of 1983, in the city of South Orange, New Jersey, I gave a freshman college student of Seton Hall University and her friend a ride in my car. That woman, that young girl, 18 years old at the time, friend of ours, and we saw them, I don't know, and so we offered them a ride from the university. And one of them was Marcia Antoine, known on her campus. They had just written an article about her on the track team, Speedy Antoine. And I randomly said to her, because they were had gotten connected with my fraternity as the sweetheart supporting organization, I said, as a result of your connection here with Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, you just might meet your husband. Little did she know that that ride that day in my 1982 Buick Regal, diamond in the back, sunroof top, big in the scene with the little did she know that that day, that car ride, that introduction would be a life-changing encounter, that she would, as a result of that, have the privilege of being married to Herbert Bailey, and I would have the privilege of marrying Marcia Antoine. It was a life-changing encounter. In March 1997, we had just started our ministry. We were doing a Bible study, I believe, in our home. And there was a couple we had met, and they were coming to our home. And the young man said to me, he said, have you ever been to World Changers Church International, Creflo Dollars Church? I said, no. He said, you need to take a ride down there. And in March of 97, Pastor Taffy was having her first, believe, women's conference. And we got our children in the car, and I drove Marcia down to Taffy Dollar World Changers Church International's Women's Conference. And we do, you have little children, you sit in the back if you're not having. And so I sat in the back with my children while the women were up in the front. And the Lord said to me, some kind of way I'm going to connect you with this man. What I'm doing, what I've done here in his life and his ministry, I'm going to do in your life and your ministry. That was a life-changing encounter. In October 2013, Pastor Marsha and I, almost randomly, because we were in town for another event, we attended Women Thou Art Loose. And because I knew one of Bishop Jake's staff members, he brought me down and sat us pretty close or along the front on one side of the big podium platform. And towards the end of the service, I see Bishop Jakes pointing to Pastor Marcia and I. And then I see that he makes his way and he goes all the way around and he comes back to me and he says, Bishop Jakes wants to take you and your wife to lunch. And I thought, well, we're one of a bunch of folks. And little did we know, when he said he wanted to take us to lunch, we ended up having lunch with us, the Jakes, and two other individuals in a restaurant that was shut down just for Bishop Jakes. Now, you know that's juice right there. Shut down the whole restaurant for six people having lunch. But that lunch and that encounter with Bishop Jakes was a life-changing encounter. In the scriptures, various people had life-changing encounters. There's a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus says he hears Jesus coming by, and perhaps he's just being a groupie. Perhaps he figured, you know, like somebody know, the president is coming to town. Y'all going to rush downtown? Well, you used to would rush downtown to see the president. Many of you know I ain't going to get a chance to shake his hand. My son Tyler was in an environment, was in something with when President Barack Obama was president, and so he was standing along there, and so he tried to get his friend, as he was shaking President Obama's hand, he tried to get his friend he gave his camera to his friend, said, take our picture. He said, President Obama said, that ain't how this works. He ain't going to take your picture with me. He'll take his own picture, but he ain't going to take your picture with me. He realized that certain people you meet, say, it can be a life-changing encounter. Zacchaeus just ran up and just wanted to see Jesus passing by. Wasn't planning on meeting him, wasn't trying to get an autograph. And Jesus sees him in the tree and says, come on down. I need to eat at your house. And when he came and ate at Zacchaeus' house, it was a life-changing encounter. Jesus was sitting there with this publican, this tax collector, the drug dealer, the pimp, the drug cartel of his day, and sitting there. And while he's sitting there, Jesus wasn't condemning him. He wasn't preaching against him. He's sitting there eating his fried chicken leg. Just ask Peter to pass the hot sauce. And while he's doing that, Zacchaeus stands up and says, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I stole anything from anybody, I'm going to return it to him four times as much. It was a life-changing encounter. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole. She pressed into the crowd. It was a life-changing encounter. Saul, on his way to Damascus, doing what he thought was right, to persecute and imprison the people of God. But on his way, light shone from heaven, knocked him off his beast. And they heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. He had a life-changing encounter on a Damascus road that he continued to talk about throughout the rest of his life. And often an encounter can seem random. It can seem merely coincidental, but it ends up being life-changing. Such was the case with this woman at the well. She has this random encounter with Jesus. She didn't know who he was. Most likely, she did not even acknowledge him. He's sitting there on the side of the well, and she just tries to go on about her business, not saying anything, all the more recognizing through some way that he looked or his attire that he was a Jew, and the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't recognize each other. They just probably talked about each other, but they didn't socially interact at all. And Jesus strikes up a conversation and says, can you give me a drink? This woman, we know she had been married at least six times. How many times do you have to date just to be married one time? So she'd have had some experience with some men. Most likely she thinks Jesus is trying to holler. On behalf of all the brothers here, can I tell y'all, sisters, I know y'all fine. But every time a brother talk to you and say hi, he ain't trying to holler. It's somebody holds the door and says hello, maybe they just being nice because you're a woman holding the door. Don't mean we're trying to holler. I know you that, but you ain't all that. That's the boldest thing I'm going to say today, and then we keep moving. There ain't too many brothers here to help me. Most likely she thinks Jesus is trying to holler. He's trying to give her a line. Boy, I ain't heard that one before. Give me something to drink. I'm thirsty too. But this encounter with Jesus quickly turns. Jesus is dealing spiritually from the beginning. But because it's so unexpected for her, and she didn't know who he was, she just got stuck in the natural. It's a sad thing when God's trying to do something supernatural in your life and you stuck in the natural. God's trying to do something that eyes have not seen, ears haven't heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men, and you still scratch your head. Well, I don't think I got enough money. Well, where that going to come from? I don't see how that's going to happen. God said, you got to lift up your eyes to the hills and realize that there's something to see beyond what you see. Verse 9, after Jesus asked her for a drink, the woman says, how is it that you, being a Jew, asking me something to drink? And I'm a woman of Samaria. You know the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This encounter exposed three things. First of all, it exposed her own prejudice. Prejudice comes from the word prejudge. When you assume things about me and don't even know me, you're prejudging. If you assume things because of my skin color or my height or the car I drive or the clothes I wear or the jewelry I wear, and you're making assumptions, you are being prejudiced. If you assume because I'm from a particular part of town or a particular part of the country, this is who I am, and you lump me in with everyone else, you are prejudging, prejudice. To prejudge is to draw conclusions without knowing the facts. Let me make this a little plain. To be all in the Kool-Aid and don't even know the flavor. When we prejudge, we lump people together and put everyone in the same category of our experience. Ladies, please don't prejudge Jesus by any other man with whom you've ever had a relationship with. When you meet Jesus, please don't prejudge Jesus by some other bad experience you had. Talking about there's no good man, because this is the best man. Please don't prejudge Jesus by your past relationship. Talking about all men are dogs, because this man is the lion of the tribe of Judah and he's the Lamb of God. Please don't prejudge Jesus by somebody who broke your heart, because he's the mender of broken hearts. Don't prejudge Jesus because somebody left you high and dry, because this man has said, I promise I will never leave you nor forsake you, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Don't prejudge Jesus by some encounter that you've had with some buster. Don't prejudge Jesus by think that he's selfish. All men want one thing. No, this man is the giver of all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Second thing this encounter exposed was this woman's ignorance. You know, the Bible says even a fool is thought to be wise as long as he keeps his mouth shut. Some people look wise and we'll believe it. Just be quiet. That was funny. This never goes good when I got to tell you when to laugh. Even a fool is thought to be wise as long as keep his mouth shut. And some people, when we open up our mouth, it exposes our ignorance. This woman exposed her ignorance. Jesus said to the woman, Believe me, the hour cometh when, verse 21, when you won't worship in this mountain or in the mountain of Jerusalem. Jesus talked spiritual things. He said, well, y'all say it's supposed to worship down in Jerusalem. Well, we believe you're supposed to worship in the mountain. Y'all believe you can wear makeup. We don't believe you can wear makeup. Y'all believe you can wear pants. We don't believe in wearing no pants. You hear how shallow these conversations will be when God's trying to move you on to weightier matters. We hear you're supposed to have a steeple over the church. Y'all church look like a basketball. Jesus told her, basically he told her she was ignorant. John 4:22, he said, you worship, you know not. What? We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Jesus said, no, you're going through the motions. And you really have not had an encounter with God. I'm so glad we have such a vibrant children's ministry. And lately I've been getting so many testimonies about our children and how they've been blessed. And one of our sisters here, she made a shirt out of a statement that my son made, my grandson. My grandson was riding in the car and he said something and I chuckled and laughed about it. He said, Papa, God can do it, you know. And so that's been our motto. We've been saying God can do it, you know. He's like God's a supernatural God. And so we're hearing about one of our members. See, they put out on Facebook the other day that during the eclipse they told their son, they said, don't look at the sun without the glasses, because if you do, you can be blind. He said, forever? He said, yes, forever. He said, that ain't what we learned in children's church. He said, in Kidstown, I heard a story about Jesus where a man was blind and Jesus spit down on the ground and put it on his eyes, and the man who was blind came seeing. I won't be blind forever. Now, what you gonna say to that? And so I thank God that we're able to secure our children. I can't remember, there were several little kids. They were probably in elementary school I was talking to, and I was at a couple of our leaders' kids, and I was talking. I said, are you saved? They said, yeah. I said, when you get saved? One of them said, a couple of years ago in vacation Bible school. Another one said, children's church. But they couldn't remember, you know, exact date. You know, one of the things that can be a downside to coming up in church is that you can be in this thing so long, you never have a real encounter with God. Are y'all hearing me here? I always have to tell this because Pastor Marcia, she don't voluntarily tell it. Pastor Marcia, you know, she is who she is because she had a real encounter with God. She don't talk about it, but I always have to give the details about her encounter. And I had met her, and she was Catholic, and she was, you know, some had the privilege, and thank you, who came to my mother-in-law's home-going service, and when they saw the mass, and they realized, and some of you had never been to a Catholic mass, and they see the contrast between this, oh, and this, hey! And some people saying, how you come from that to this? Of course, she had an encounter with God. When you have an encounter with God, it goes beyond religion. When you have an encounter with God, it goes beyond the norm. Are you hearing me? When she got saved, she had an encounter with God. Preacher makes an altar call. She comes up, and we had a guest evangelist that afternoon. And evangelist, as she's getting ready to minister salvation to, he said, by the way, the Lord told me to tell you, your father's foot going to be all right. And I said, oh, Lord Jesus, she demanded. He going to this crazy man talking about his father's foot, and he, you know, and so and afterwards I said, I'm sorry about the preacher talking about your father's foot and stuff. You know, sometimes people are off. She said, no. She said, I had just talked to my father that morning, and he told me, I asked him how he was doing. He told me he hurt his foot at work. So I guess God told him that my father's foot was going to be all right. I said, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. Said, you know, God moves like that. Two weeks later, because she had been a Catholic girl, I was trying to ease her into this thing. And see, we didn't get folks filled with the Holy Ghost like we did last night. We had to have a special service, and we're going to be there for a few hours. You know, everybody don't have time for that. And so I didn't tell her nothing about the Holy Ghost, trying to ease her in, just getting her used to being saved. A couple weeks later, we had a service, and we up there praising and rejoicing, and she's sitting beside, and all of a sudden I hear something go, boom! And I look. And she laid out. She laid out with the chair. The chair fell down, her legs on top of the chair. And she laid out going, I said, oh, that's called the Holy Ghost. I forgot to tell you about that part. My point about that is nobody ministered the Holy Ghost to her.
Have you ever had an encounter with God that was unexplainable? God wants to have a personal encounter with you. When you allow God to infiltrate your life, you'll be changed forever. Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey and their ministry guests explain how your personal encounter with God will exceed all human reasoning. Order this message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order The Encounter 2017.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.